So for Creative Disturbance listeners, you're talking about the art collective. Okay.
Yeah, we started, me and an artist curator, April Bohorquez, and some other community kind of artists, thinkers, started a group in 2009 or 2010 called Desert Art Lab. And it was really an attempt to kind of, we started it in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and it was an attempt to kind of expand the conversation about sustainability and kind of add some conversations that we didn't see happening. And one of the things that there's a lot of challenges, obviously, in a place like Phoenix, Arizona, a big metropolis in the middle of a desert. And, you know, there was always a new think tank coming out once a year addressing, well, how are we going to live sustainably, you know? And a lot of the things that we saw, they were missing, you know? They were missing some of the community components, some of the political components, some of the ecological components of the conversation about the desert. So we created this group to kind of have this kind of socially engaged, civic, art-based dialogue. And, you know, we do a lot of performance work. We did almost like a campaign for the desert. And because I think what we found is the desert is really actually, if you really look at the desert and you study it, it's a pretty biodiverse place. The Sonoran Desert, where we started in. And it isn't a wasteland. But what has happened to it, you know, over the last 100 years with development is turning it into a wasteland. And what we were trying to say was, like, how can we learn how to live in the environment we're in, right? How can we learn how to have a desert approach to sustainability rather than, you know, kind of putting in the trendy, sustainable conversations that may not always fit in the environment we were in. So that was kind of how the group started. But,
so what are the things that keep you awake at night that you worry about this approach?
Well, I mean, you know, when we started this, it was disappearing indigenous ecologies that really we wanted to focus on when we started the group. I mean, we saw the desert as really in a rich and valuable ecology, and we saw this disconnection within the urban space. So we really wanted to try to figure out ways to reconnect with indigenous desert ecology. And once we started digging into that, we saw all these connections with, you know, water resilience and, you know, food practice. And today we see what's going on in California. And, you know, 5 years ago when we started this project, these were conversations we were having. You know, how can we acknowledge we're in a desert, right? So that was the paradox of Phoenix, is that you're in a desert, and this is the whole West, really. This isn't an issue. And as we've expanded over the last few years, we found this conversation that we generated in Phoenix is really something that's relevant throughout the West, is that it's an arid land, and we've designed these environments that are not, you know, representing the place that they're in. And so, you know, people have lived for decades surrounded by this manufactured environment, and they're not even acknowledging the ecology they live in. And now we're hitting the limits of that with things like you see in California, which, you know, are really issues that are spread throughout the West, New Mexico, Southern Colorado.
And other parts of the world, of course.
Yeah, and other parts of the world. Yes, absolutely. So water now, you know, water, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to deal with these major water issues? In globally, and also finally, it's hitting us in the U.S. with what you see in California. And these were, you know, years ago, people were warning about this, and nobody was really paying attention. But, you know, now we kind of have to, right?
And what I see in the current argument is that people in New York and Virginia and South Carolina don't yet see the impact of California on their lives, and, you know, to protect the food industry, you know, they're still letting lots of water being used. Well, we don't need to talk about advocacy, but that's all part of it. So tell me about your organization.
Well, it isn't really an organization. It's really an art project.
Okay.
And so we created this Desert Art Lab, and it's a performance project in itself. And part of the, like I said, part of the intention was to bring a conversation about, you know, these very issues. We live in these regions with extreme limits, and we still grow things, eat things, live ways that are really in contrast and conflict with the places we live. So we started to basically create performance projects and installations that discuss indigenous desert ecology and the kind of knowledge systems that are tied to it. Because in the West, they're still there, right? I mean, there are still knowledge systems tied to the land. And as the ecology, what we found is as the ecology gets, you know, displaced, these knowledge systems get displaced. And as these knowledge systems get displaced, our understanding of how to exist in spaces that are so extreme, with such extreme limits, our understanding of how to live in those spaces is limited, is lost. So our project was to engage that part of the sustainability conversation is, you know, indigenous ecology, indigenous knowledge systems, and also food practices tied to those things. So we've done a lot of performance work around urban space. And also, most importantly, is what we found is we're the biggest challenge is to get in some parts of we've done projects throughout the Southwest, and some of the biggest problems we have are convincing people they live in a desert.
Really? Mean,
yeah. It's amazing. You can go throughout Southern Colorado, New Mexico, in Arizona. Okay, it's a little different. People kind of, I mean, they've created this entire world to like escape the desert, but there's some result. You know, when it's 115 outside, they realize, okay, I'm in a desert. But you know, there is a general distaste for like desert ecology we found in the desert. You know, residents who live in the desert kind of don't like it. So a part of our project was to like identify that and also have a discussion of what is it about, you know, the desert that is that, you know, maybe you don't like, or you know, that you're not aware of, or really acknowledging that you're in it so you can change the way that you think about your space. That was a big, big problem. But a lot of stuff we did in the Southwest was, that was a big challenge. Is we do community-engaged projects where we bring community into community centers, libraries, and we do kind of these performance projects with desert ecology. And a lot of residents were like, well, we're not in a desert.
And are these, you know, in all size towns, like small towns too?
Yeah, we've done stuff in Albuquerque, small towns, Southern Colorado, small towns. And there's just this, like, they don't want to believe they're in a desert. You know, we found this time and time again. The communities don't want to believe it. And that's part of this kind of psychology that we found in Arizona, where people are willing to do anything to separate themselves from the desert ecologies. And we're just saying, you know, like, actually, if you engage the desert ecology and you learn about it, there's so much to gain from this, right? There's so much knowledge, there's so much wealth in acknowledging your space. And not only that, we can learn how to better live where we're at. And, you know, of course, the green grass, right, in places that get 7 inches of rain, you know, when you could have these really amazing desert landscapes that are, you know, basically drought tolerant and mm-hmm. beautiful, you know. So these were some of the projects or some of the ideas we kind of played with.
Are you engaged in the placemaking world? You know, there's a whole,
yeah.
Is that, do yeah. you use those principles and
yeah,
I assume
absolutely.
You do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, identifying place. And we what we try to do is think about, you know, again, our area is the Southwest, and our main focus is of the Southwest has been for the last 5 years is that it's a desert, you know, like the whole thing, right? I mean, really, if you dig into it, the dry lands of the arid lands of the West are really, they stretch from Colorado to California. I mean, this whole region is pretty, pretty dry, and there's different names for it, but it's a very arid area and there's extreme limits. And so, as far as us placemaking, that's where we wanted to start. Is identifying those things.
Do you think you made any impact, or have you seen any? How are you measuring impact so that people can recognize the special, unique qualities of deserts?
Well, impact's always tough with this kind of work.
Mm-hmm,
but, some of the stuff we did in Arizona definitely, you know, you get press attention. We got honored by the mayor of Phoenix for one of our projects. You know, we've had shows internationally, nationally. We've had exhibits at National Hispanic Cultural Center, Community Center. So, I mean, on some level, as artists, yeah, we've been recognized. But, I mean, these issues are big, you know, and so it's kind of one of those things that it's not going to just, you know, it's a marathon, right? It's a lifelong practice. So, you know, for us, it's always a conversation we'll bring with us in our practice. But one of the things, one of our main projects is the distribution of native ecology to the public so they can go and plant it. And so this is basically a project we've carried throughout the Southwest. We create in gallery space, in basically public space, in community space, we create art projects around distributing indigenous ecology to the community. And we do it in the form of many, many different types, but we focus a lot on cacti, just because the symbolism, the food practice, the history, and its resilience. And then what we've done over the last 5 years is once we distribute these plants, we ask those who we give them to, we hand them out, and we ask that those who take them plant them and then send us back the tag of their planting. So then now we're building this map. We've been building this map over the last few years that we update every once in a while that shows plantings throughout the Southwest of indigenous ecology, which are primarily resilient cacti from the area. And part of this is, you know, so much of the Southwest, so much of the issues over there are, you know, the destruction of the ecology. And so we're saying, like, well, we've done a lot of damage to it, but can we also help it? Can we replace it? You know, can we plant 1,000 cactus? That's the project. That's one of the projects. That's the 1,000 cacti project. And so we'll continue to do that. You know, I mean, who know, maybe we'll see the impact of that project in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but we're not going to stop doing that project. So mm-hmm. I think with socially engaged work, the process is long. And I mean, we've already been working on a project like this since 2009, and I don't think we'll stop anytime soon. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but, we definitely have seen some impact on a community and local level.
And when you say we, who do you mean by we? Who are the people that are participating?
Well, it really depends, because it's really sometimes who wants to come and help, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really always a lot of the stuff we do is open to the public, and whoever wants to come comes and help and joins us. And in Phoenix, we've had a big group of supporters. But when I say me, I mean me and April Bohorquez, because she's the other collaborator on the project. So she and I really designed most of the projects and engagements and outreach and, you know, exhibitions and, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do.
Why don't you tell me what the website is?
Okay, yeah. So the group is desertartlab.org. You can email us at desertartlab@gmail.com. And so again, one of the things, once we distribute those cacti, we engage the food practice. So what we're finding, we know this, but there's an ancient food practice tied to this land, right? And this is a pre-agriculture, well, I guess actually more accurately described as a perennial agriculture food practice. So one of the biggest things that we're facing today is our food system, right? And what we are trying to share through our art projects is that there's different ways to eat. what we eat say about who we are and what we believe? And so we're trying to have a conversation about food practice and indigenous ecology and these knowledge systems tied to this. But so the food practice is a big component of it. And then also, mythology behind the cacti. We engage the mythology of these plants. I mean, we're talking ancient American, you know, Mesoamerican American histories. You know, these are the histories that sometimes people don't learn about the very land they're in. So it's all about grounding ourselves in the place we're at. And also technology, science and technology. We also engage this side of it. There's a lot of the plants that we distribute have ancient medicinal and really, you know, I mean, they do every, some of these plants we're playing with, nopalitos and choyas, and they have properties, everything from, you know, lowering blood sugar to cleaning water. And there's a scientist at University of South Florida, Mexican-American. She had heard her whole life her grandmother tell her, the nopalito cleans water.
And what's her name? What's the scientist's name?
Her name is Norma Alcantar.
Okay.
And she's in the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at the University of South Florida. So, you know, we've been looking, we've been studying. I mean, this is a kind of encyclopedia of knowledge once you open the doors into indigenous ecology and the food practices tied to them and the technology tied to them. I mean, this is it's a huge field, and it intersects with stuff that's going on today in technology and things that happened 4,000 years in technology. Because technology isn't just...
It's not new.
It's not just what... Yeah, it's not new. And so this is the door that we've opened up. And so this particular scientist had heard, you know, these stories about the prickly pear cleaning water. And, you know, this was stuff that was seen as folklore, as myth, as, you know, those kind of weird things, right? And she tested it, and it's true. It works. So now, I mean, it took, you know, a lot of money, National Science Foundation money, to prove something that was really ancient knowledge and had been being used in the Southwest and throughout the Americas for a very long time for this purpose. Mm-hmm. Now they're implementing it. Now they're trying to implement it in the very communities that have been probably using it for a very long time. You know, so it's really funny, these cycles. And, you know, part of our conversation is how do we connect with these thought systems? Because if we're going to have an honest discussion about sustainability, we got to include as many perspectives as possible. And so much the perspectives of the indigenous knowledge systems have been left out. They really have. I mean, this conversation has really been a Western conversation, and because of it, I think it's not as strong as it could be.
Right. Yes.
So that's the kind of thing where we the group ultimately, through our projects, through our performances, through our through our initiative, we try to bring as artists. Because we're not scientists, but we're artists.
I know. This is a wonderful collaboration of art and science. And for me, you know, I started this Art and Earth Science channel. And as you talk a lot about plants, but the plants are, and the lore and the history are so tied with landscape, water, soil, what some people think of as earth and biology. It's really all integrated. There's no separation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the silos are just, you know, I think at this point we realize we need to figure out ways and have space for those silos to kind of, those academic silos to kind of come down and us mix a little more and interact and figure out ways that art, science, and technology and, you know, histories can engage these conversations, because, I mean, they're obviously very serious, and the way we're going now is obviously, it's not necessarily working, and I don't, you know, who knows what'll happen. But we believe that, you know, if we're going to live in the desert, we got to live in the desert. You know, we got to really figure out what that means, and we got to live in the land and learn about the land and understand the history, and these things will help us understand where we're at and how to live where we're at more effectively. You know.
Thank you. And for listeners, if you want to learn more about Matthew Garcia and this project, go to creativedisturbance.org.